Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us. Well, today, talk about some of the irony's, the symbolic significances in the world. Just can't be missed. Here's the tale of two cities. Bill, just two cities. The tale of two cities. City of Wichita, Kansas, always interested me. Why? Well, it's the home of the BTK killer, who was a faithful member of his ELCA church, and the home of Tiller the Killer, the abortionist, who also was a deacon at his ELCA Lutheran church. I flew into Wichita, Kansas a few years ago, and checking out the curio shops, and I couldn't find, you know, the t-shirt, the curio, to commemorate, you know, that Wichita, Kansas is the ELCA serial killing capital of the world. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just those factors came together in one city, which made it very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, you have two serial killers, same city, both members of their ELCA church. I just think that's one of those.
I wonder if it was the same ELCA
divine coincidences,
church,
so to speak.
Yeah.
And it speaks worlds concerning the ELCA church. The liberal, that's the far left Lutheran church in the United States for those who are outside of our country. All right. So then their other city is South Bend, Indiana. So this is the other city. Very interesting. It's the home of one of the most notorious abortionists in the country. Apparently, just recently, he passed away and they found 2,200.
Yeah. Over 2,000.
Dead bodies of these babies he had aborted. He'd been collecting them just like, you know, ordinary serial killers tend to do.
Yeah. He'd collected body parts, basically. Yeah.
And it also happens to be the city of the homosexual mayor, Peter Buttigieg, who is running for president of the United States, who also endorses abortion up to the point of that child's birth. At least he has in recent interviews. And so not just
up to the point of birth, but after birth.
Okay. All right. So that's Peter Buttigieg, who, by the way, also has this scary pietistic thing about him as well.
Oh, he
claims to be a Christian, I believe.
Yeah, and he interprets scripture for everybody and pontificates and preaches to us as to what we as Christians should be doing based on his interpretation.
So recently we covered the story where he was interviewed on the subject of abortion, and I think it was the Breakfast Club. It was a radio program. He was interviewed on this Breakfast Club about abortion, and this is what Peter Buttigieg said about late-term abortion. He suggested the Bible is okay with it. Here's the quote, and we're going to get back to this in just a moment. Here's the quote, Bill. You ready? There's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath, ergo breathing. So even that is something we can interpret differently. All right, so that's what Peter Buttigieg said about scripture.
What does that mean? That's something we can even interpret differently.
He's interpreting every which way but loose. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack, also with me. Now, Peter Buttigieg has come out with this quote. There's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. So even that is something we can interpret differently. Scary stuff. This guy presents it in a smooth way.
Yeah. You know, it's the age-old, did God really say? You know, it goes back to Genesis. It's not an accusation. It's just, I'm just asking the question. I'm just raising the issue. We need to discuss this. Let's put it on the table and discuss it. And did God really say?
Two words come to mind, adjectives, slimy and slippery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Doesn't that feel slimy and slippery?
Very much so.
The only thing I know that's slimy and slippery is a snake.
Yep.
And Peter Buttigieg. That, right? I mean, isn't that slimy and slippery? I'm not sure I've ever run into something as slimy and slippery as what you hear from Peter Buttigieg. We're going to talk about the other Peter in just a moment. That's why we have to distinguish.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Peter is talking about this meme that's going around. Let me read the meme. It's a meme that's going around amongst the pro-aborts. And here it is. Your Bible says life begins at first breath. Clumps of cells don't breathe air in the womb. Genesis 2:7, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and it was then that the man became a living being. So that's what they say. Pretending as if they're quoting from Genesis 2:7. So your Bible says life begins at first breath. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and it was then that man became a living being. Well, it's true. That's how Adam was created.
And that was the first.
But Adam didn't have a belly button either. He didn't come out of a womb.
Right.
So there's a distinction there. See, again, does this feel slimy and slippery to you?
Yeah. The baby does breathe inside the womb. The baby receives oxygen from the mother.
From the mother.
Yeah. Through the umbilical tube.
That's right. All right. So the Bible doesn't teach that every person comes to life at first breath any more than it teaches that every woman comes from the rib of a man. So you follow me there?
Yeah.
So if you say, okay, every person is created the same way that Adam was created, I guess you're going to have to say that every woman is created the same way that Eve was created. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, so hey, consistency here. But of course, that's not the way the slippery and the slimy work.
No.
They're not going to work this way. They're going to play this way.
They just raised out.
That's their job.
Yeah. Yeah, their job.
It's what they do best.
And then when you accuse them of that, they say, "No, I'm just asking the question.
Yeah,
I just wanted to have a discussion. You know, I'm not saying it has to be this way. I'm just saying it could be this way.
Did
God really say?
The Bible distinguishes Adam from children who conceived in their mother's womb, and the Bible speaks of those in their mother's wombs as alive and capable of faith. Listen to Psalm 139. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. The assumption being that I existed as an I and as a person while I was being formed in the womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. Here's Psalm 22 as well. This one's somewhat controversial, but friends, on you was I cast from my birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help. What does that mean? That means at least in the case of a sample size of one, meaning David or Jesus, he was cast upon God in his mother's womb. He's trusting in God. There's faith in this person while he resides in his mother's womb.
That's pretty amazing. And what did John the Baptist do?
Well, Luke 1:15, he will be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And then in verse 41, Mary comes to visit.
And what happens?
So Mary's in first trimester.
Yeah.
John the Baptist is in third trimester, all right? Thankfully, neither of them aborted by Pete Buttigieg or anybody else. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit of God as he senses, in some way, the presence of Jesus in the womb of his mother Mary.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. All right. Well, now getting back to Pete Buttigieg's comment. Friends, we want to take a look at this because this so represents so much of what people say about God's Word. They use God's Word, they twist it, they turn it every which way, but you loose. And here's what Pete says. Listen one more time. There's a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath. So even that is something we can interpret differently. So what he's saying is,
did God really say?
You know, there's debate here.
Yeah.
There's debate here.
There's two sides to this issue.
We can debate these things differently. When it comes to ethics, biblical ethics, when it comes to matters like serial killing, you know, when it comes to matters like bestiality and homosexuality and, you know, I mean, human sacrifice, I just come up with the worst possible thing. Come on. I mean, we all interpret these things differently.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the way in which the modern evangelical plays with the Word of God. Too much. Now, it's not everybody, but evangelicalism and Christians and post-Christians and apostate Christians, they're just playing fast and loose with the Word. That's just what they do. They just assume that the Bible doesn't speak directly and clearly to these matters, that it somehow God is incapable of speaking clearly. He just doesn't have that ability.
We need to remind them of Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. We need to remind them of Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. See, that's what it is.
It's a bunch of doubt.
These are doubters. Yeah. But it's not that they doubt. They're convinced of their position. They are creating doubt. They are sowing doubt among people. Mm. And that's why you should be very cautious about voting for a Peter B.
Doubtmongers.
Yeah, doubtmongers.
They're doubtmongers. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. You know, Pete's assumption is that the Bible is incapable of speaking clearly.
Well,
John Stone Street interacted with this quote. John Stone Street, you know the guy.
Yeah.
He says, Buttigieg is filling a void that's been left by pastors who only teach the Bible as a personal, private self-help book in order to help us to find our purpose, improve our lives, and feel closer to God. For example, back in 2016, when Colorado's facing a ballot initiative on doctor-assisted suicide, at least two prominent pastors told me they wouldn't address it from the pulpit because it was, quote, too political. A Christianity that is never directly and broadly applied to the cultural moments we live in is one that is eventually reduced down to emotive sentimentalism. I say amen to that. A friend responded to my tweet with this one that further clarifies the problem Buttigieg is revealing in the church. Quote, also, he's very nice. Buttigieg is very nice.
I got news for you. Jesus was never a nice guy.
But Buttigieg was nice.
Yes, but that is the cultural Christianity of the
day. It is. Very nice.
It's the gospel of niceness.
Yes.
And it is deadly.
Yeah. Reducing Christianity to bland platitudes and vague kindness leaves us utterly defenseless when the snake oil salesman is vaguely kind, too.
Yeah, slippery and slimy.
Slippery and slimy. Back to the slippery and slimy. You know, the real problem, though, is nobody really wants to say this, but the Bible speaks not just to cultural issues. The Bible speaks to ethical issues. And I wish, Bill, I wish people would just come out and say it. The Bible speaks clearly to right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't pastors just say it? The Bible speaks to the law of God. Oh, oops, did I just say it?
You did.
I just said the L word.
You shouldn't have said
that. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Now I'm in trouble again. Did I just use that legalistic word again? To talk about abortion or doctor-assisted suicide or homosexuality, you're going to have to bring out God's law. And evangelicals just don't want to mention it. You know, it's a dirty word.
But let's call it something else. Let's call it God's suggestions. Let's call them the 10.
Now you're back to Buttigieg.
10 not so subtle suggestions.
Now you're back to Buttigieg. If you spoke the law of God, you'd have to speak about the atoning work of Jesus and the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And not too many people want to go there.
Yeah.
Now we're talking
because
fighting words.
They're hand
now
in
we're talking
glove.
The gospel
they're
itself.
Hand in glove. The law condemns us.
And then the gospel cleanses us.
Yes.
Amen. Well, even more fundamental, Peter's assumption is that the Bible is silly putty. You could do about anything you want with silly putty, right? Isn't that what people do now with the Word of God? It's silly putty.
Do you think our listeners know what silly putty is?
That's
old guy.
Okay.
Okay. When you were a kid.
Give me a good synonym for it.
You were a kid and you had silly putty,
yeah,
right?
I did.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Yeah.
They still sell it for a buck down at the dollar store.
Yeah?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't silly putty still out there?
I think so, but I don't know. I don't know. You may be using something that's no longer relevant. We got to be relevant, Kevin.
Let me be relevant for a moment. I'm going to give you an illustration. I was changing the oil in my car.
Yeah.
And my wife comes out. And she gives me a book, a brand new book. She bought it for my birthday. She gives it to me. I start reading the book, and I say, honey, this book is all smeared. You know, I can't read this. Now, what do you think the problem is, Bill?
It's not the book.
It's not the book's fault, is it?
It's the reader's
fault. What's the problem? I'm changing the oil in my car, so what's my hands look like?
It's the handler's problem.
It's the handler's. That's right. So the problem is not the Bible. The problem is Peter Buttigieg. His heart is so soiled with sin and sheer evil and deceit that as somebody hands him the Word of God, what happens? He smudges the whole thing up.
And then he can't read it to people.
Yeah. Well, 2 Peter 2 and 3 speaks directly to the coming of Peter Buttigieg, or the Peter Buttigiegs of the world. In fact, I think it speaks directly to Peter Buttigieg. Isn't it ironic that Peter speaks to Peter? I was just thinking about that. Peter speaks to Peter in 2 Peter. Isn't that something? Listen to this, Bill. 2 Peter 3:15. An account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles speaking to these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Isn't that what's going on here?
Yeah.
He's resting the scriptures to his own destruction. This is Peter speaking to Peter, and Peter has more to say about Peter. Listen to this. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, who was vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked in Sodom, for that righteous man dwelt among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they don't understand, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome of the same, he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled there and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Does that sound like Peter speaking about the Peters of the world?
It does. And it should make us tremble. Should make us very, very humble in how we handle God's word. We should tremble when we open it and preach it. And unfortunately, that is not the case with Peter Buttigieg.
Yes, that is. We tremble before the Word of God because it is the authority of God Himself speaking to us through His Word. Listen to Isaiah 5. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness, the righteous after him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. You know what's interesting is Peter's name. Peter Buttigieg was named Peter after the Apostle Peter.
Right.
You know how I opened my book, Apostate? The Western world's massive apostasy, but listen to the preface, the very first words of Apostate, the men who destroyed the Christian West. John Locke, John Jacques Rousseau, John Stuart Mill, John Paul Sartre, John Dewey, John Lennon, John Steinbeck, John Maynard Keynes. Each of these names should be familiar to most Westerners. They were all men of renown, the greatest men of the age. They were men of towering importance in the unfolding, or rather, unraveling of Western civilization, and together they defined the modern world. It's interesting. Their parents called them John.
Right.
It's interesting. Peter's parents called him Peter. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations radio broadcast. It is a bit of a warning today on the program, but remember, the same God who lays out his holy law is the one who sent his son to that cross to suffer the very curse of that law in order that he would pay the price and that he would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's remember that the law we broke is the law that Jesus met and obeyed, and the punishment that he took for the breaking of that law at the cross. And it is this law which we are enabled to obey, because what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. But why? That the righteousness of the law might still be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And Jesus did all of that for us. Well, friends, let me encourage you to our little resource, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand the unraveling of the faith, and an encouragement, of course, in the last chapter, to keep the faith in our generation, that faith once for all delivered to the saints. Again, my book, Apostate, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.